budget on the backs of graduate students. The following semester, the university actually had the nerve to suggest eliminating tuition waivers for our graduate colleagues at UIUC, while never suggesting cuts to administrators' bloated salaries. How dare you pay Coach Bruce $1 million and are now considering giving him a 50% raise? As a graduate student in the U of I system who is constantly having a supposedly tight budget balanced on my back, I demand that you deny his extravagant raise. It is shameful that the University of Illinois would even consider paying a basketball coach $1.5 million a year, but then tell graduate students that they are demanding too much by asking for raises, an end to tuition differentials, and more affordable health care. And finally, how dare the university try and set itself up as a role model for both the local and global communities? The election for the Board of Trustees student representative shows how deeply enmeshed UIC is in the Illinois and more specifically Chicago political machine. The elections were clearly won by the Students for a Better Government group. Yet the university administration made the decision to deny these students their due positions because they supposedly violated the student code of conduct. Well, what about Dean Rodriguez and the election planning committee decision to ignore rules and procedures concerning suspect circumstances and then make a decision in secret behind closed doors without any notes from these meetings? This is a public university. All matters conducted by it should be done openly. UIC is here to serve the students, not individuals' political interests. Joel Ebert is known as someone who would not feed the machine. Because of this, the university acted like the corrupt local and state governments of Illinois and simply removed him so that someone more pliable would be in place. It is absolutely disgraceful, and we will not take it anymore. A UIC campus coalition formed this past year called United Income Campaign Against Budget Cuts, or UIC ABC. It is made up of undergraduate students, campus workers, and community groups, all who have tried to partner with you in the past.
Good morning. I'd like to clarify first that Cecilia Real will not be speaking due to a miscommunication. She was informed that she was not ready to speak, so she's not prepared today. I am Joel Ebert. First of all, I would like to thank you to have this opportunity to address you today. But as Trustee Shaw said, as part of the democratic process, we appreciate this opportunity. But it is not enough to be merely passively listening. We would like to inform you that today our presence is to show you that students are watching and are concerned. The decisions made in this room and behind closed doors, whether we like it or not, affect us all. The way these decisions have been addressed before today is over. A change has occurred on our campus because the students themselves have changed. Awareness and proactivity are the new maxims of the UIC community, prompted not merely by any individual actions, but by a dangerous pattern which has become apparent to the students which you serve. The path towards higher education is one wrought with many difficulties, and it is the duty of those given positions of authority to help those students to the best of their ability. For this to be accomplished, we must not think of our relationships as that between an anonymous board and a large population of students, graduate and undergraduate, but as individuals given the opportunity to influence and enhance the futures of other individuals. Though we have a diverse campus here at UIC with students coming from many different backgrounds, it is unfortunate that what often enables them to relate to each other best are the hardships they face, hardships which may be avoided. Every year, students such as Megan Rooney are forced to pay tuition by taking out student loans, putting them deeper and deeper in debt. Though these student loans allow students to continue their education in the present, they will become an increasing burden as they enter an uncertain job market in the future. Let us not forget that tuition costs are not the end of financial difficulties that students face, but they are all too often just the beginning. Every year, students like Jenna Bosnos are forced to pay over $800 for textbooks. A textbook dollar spent on that is no different than that being spent on tuition. In addition, much of UIC's campus housing lacks basic fundamental amenities. Students such as Cecilia Real, Jenna Holt, and Drewby Shaw are burdened by paying almost $9,000 a year to live in a facility which lacks functional fire alarms. These very same facilities, which have been touted by some administrators as some of the best housing facilities in the state, also contain mold inside its continually leaking bathrooms, even forcing a student to be hospitalized due to an allergic reaction. And these maintenance issues not only plague our dormitories, but also many of our aspects of our campus. Why is it that UIC's tallest building has over $13 million of damage done to it and no plan for it? Why have we seen no action to remove the asbestos in high traffic areas such as the Behavioral Sciences Building? Why are we continually being forced to pay more and more for services which plague our safety in danger, and not only where we learn, but where we live? These aren't questions that I'm asking. These are questions that students have been asking. We know these problems exist, but the real question is how these problems became in the first place. At the heart of the matter, what is really at stake is not value, the price we put on ourselves and our university, but a question of values. The most valuable resource of a university should and always must be its students. Any action by any educational institution which does not empower and propel its students must be considered flawed and misguided. Over the past year, we have been asked to reassess our priorities. Yet this university should have done one thing. The priority is students. It is the excellence and accomplishments of the students which should act as the only standard by which we measure our success, not how much our basketball coaches are worth. When students are concerned with how they are going to pay for school, their academics suffer. When teaching assistants are in fear of losing their positions, their abilities are also put into jeopardy. In other words, no matter how tall we build our buildings, no matter how much pride some of us take in profit margins and increased salaries, the university, the students, and academics are the foundation of this university. And when the foundation is unstable, the entire structure is placed in peril. These tasks are not impossible. If they were, I would not be before you today. The fact is, what adds the sense of urgency is that we cannot waste any more time, for what we have is an opportunity which we cannot deny. The money to address these problems exists and will be there in the future, as the governor has assured us. But if the money doesn't go where it needs to go, it will ultimately be a wasted and missed opportunity. It is the job of the university to create opportunities for students and to give them an education, to help them succeed in life. It is the very institution which is often to provide these opportunities. If they do not take full advantage of them at such critical times such as these, I can think of no greater example than the university failing those that it is truly meant to serve, the community, the students, and everybody involved in this university. Thank you for your time, and if you have any questions, I can address them.
Thank you so much. And thanks to all the speakers for expressing your opinion. Let me assure you that we are listening to you. We live in a great country, and we are fortunate that we can express our opinion. And when we listen, let me tell you, also assure you that there is nothing passive about it. You got everybody's attention here.
Mr. Chairman, if you don't mind, I would love to volunteer. Give me somebody from Walt's office or the Chancellor or Provost's office to sit down with some student groups, just to, because I think part of what you hear is they don't really, we need maybe to listen a little bit more. Maybe there's some things we'll pick up from you. On the other hand, there may be some things that we can talk about, what our priorities are, what we're trying to accomplish. You know, maybe we can just establish a dialogue and a communication. So if you're okay with that, I would love to sit down with the recognized student groups and just talk about some of these issues.
That's a great, I'd like to join you. Yeah, in fact, and I'd be happy to sit down with, hear the perspective from SEIU as well. So,
Chancellor Mears or Walt, if you can give us somebody in your office to join us, we'll schedule something. Yeah. Thanks, Devin.
Can you coordinate that, please?
Yeah, we can.
I know you are extremely busy, but this would be a priority.
Very important.
Thank you so much. Now I turn to President White on our most interesting subject, the global campus.
Thank you, Chairman. I'd like to report to you on Global Campus this morning. This board has supported the Global Campus initiative from the outset because of its mission to increase access to quality, affordable higher education for qualified people, primarily in Illinois, who want, need, and deserve a U of I education but do not have the ability to earn it in the traditional way on our campuses. America and Illinois are experiencing a crisis in higher education access and affordability. The board has recognized that. So has President Obama, who recently challenged the nation to retake first place among all nations in our college graduation rate. President Obama has also recognized the crisis in higher education by challenging the nation to retake first place among all nations in our college graduation rate, a dramatic improvement from our decline to 10th place today. So also has the Illinois Board of Higher Education's new strategic plan, about which Chairwoman Carrie Heitman will speak to you this afternoon. A state-by-state grading of higher education gives Illinois an F in affordability and a C in access. The plan intends to change that and puts access at the top of the priority list. Everyone who has studied the access and affordability crisis comes to the same conclusion. Great universities like Illinois must partner with community colleges to create high-quality baccalaureate completion degree programs in high-demand areas, both on campus and online, to enable qualified students to have a seamless experience as they begin college near home and then complete it at a four-year university. Chancellor Herman and his team are doing a great job in increasing the opportunities for on-campus baccalaureate completion at Urbana in partnership with Parkland Community College. UIC and UIS have counterpart programs. But we have not yet created the affordable online baccalaureate completion option on a significant scale. Though Global Campus has multiple programs and 425 students, the academic units of the university have not come forth with the online baccalaureate completion programs needed for Global Campus to achieve the mission for which it was created. Recognizing this last November, the board directed, on my recommendation, that Global Campus seek its own accreditation to free it to develop needed programs in cooperation with individual University of Illinois faculty. Global Campus staff filed a letter with the Higher Learning Commission stating our intention to seek accreditation. But as the board learned in March, faculty governance at the university, especially in Urbana and Springfield, has strongly opposed such accreditation. Because earning accreditation requires a very high level of institutional unity among the board, faculty, and administration, I now believe that pursuing accreditation is a problematic path for Global Campus. A second option is to terminate Global Campus entirely. But this would be turning our back on a mission, increasing access to and affordability of higher education and a means of achieving it, online technology, to which nearly everybody professes allegiance. On the horns of this dilemma, I turned, as I have many times in the last 25 years, to the faculty to seek advice. More specifically, I asked Senate's conference to be as constructive and creative about what they think we should do with regard to Global Campus as they have been vehement about that to which they are opposed. The result is a report by a task force chaired by Professor Nick Berbulis, who, as you know, is here today. It's the product of a group of comprised of thoughtful, experienced faculty and administrators from our three campuses. Their recommendation, which they labeled Global Campus 2.0, is to recommit the university to Global Campus's access and affordability mission while resetting our approach to achieving it, specifically making the campuses and their academic units wholly responsible for all online education and putting Global Campus resources in a support role. After receiving the task force report, I convened the officers of the university, including the chancellors and vice presidents, and invited the provosts. And we as a group reached consensus to embrace the task force report and recommend it to the trustees as the way forward. In addition, I have recommended to the trustees that they require, that you require, a multi-year plan from the campuses.